Things was fantastic. I learned a lot, and some of the things will be in this message. It was one of the maybe the best learning experience as far as a missions trip for me. I have five things I wrote down that I learned. They were real important for me, and we'll share a little bit about that this morning. John chapter 9 is where I'm going to be. John chapter 9. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 7. I'm going to speak on deciding where we will spend ourselves. Decide where you will spend yourselves. That's very important, and I want to focus on that today. John chapter 9 and verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither at this man's sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It's not the sermon at all, but it's just one of the reasons bad things happen. This man was blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Neither one did. He wasn't blind because somebody did something wrong. It was so God could show a mighty work and get glory through this situation. And so you don't always know. Jesus knew in this case, but you don't always know why something bad happens. Just because something bad happened to you doesn't mean God's after you, and or you did something wrong. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing, and he was healed. Decide where we'll spend ourselves. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, it's wonderful to be able to serve you. It's great. It's a great honor to be able to just read these words and see what our Savior did. And but there's also great truths for our lives today. Attitudes we can learn and ways of thinking. And Lord, you know our minds need renewed, as you said in Romans 12. And I pray that our minds would be renewed and think the way you want us to think. Help us not to think that we know everything, but that sometimes we don't think right because we've been programmed by the world, by its ways and its philosophies. And may we think with your priorities and the way you think. And may you speak in a powerful way. May we hear from heaven. And may the Spirit of God just help us make us decide, Lord, how we're going to spend our time and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus realized that he had his time right now to do things. He needed to work right now. He said in verse 4, he says, I must work the work that of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, a little bit different now. You understand in Jesus' days, they didn't have electricity and all those things. So daylight was this wonderful time to work. You rose with the sun and you worked well because you could see. And when it got dark, well, all you had is a lantern and they weren't very efficient and the oil cost money and such, or a candle. And so you would go in and be with your family at night when it was dark. And I think, by the way, that's God likes God's program. Originally, the way mankind was you worked with the sun, and so you rose up earlier and went to bed a little earlier than we do. I worked graveyard for 9 years straight, and I know that there's different schedules and there's nothing sinful about it, but I think you'll find your life much more productive if you get up early. You'll find out, by the way, that the sun rises gradually. It does not pop up at noon, and you'll find all these things out, and I think it's good to rise up early, and some of you are giving questioning looks, but it does. It rises up, and so he says, while it is day, I've got to work, while I have the opportunity, because the night's coming, and nobody can work at night. In other words, it's work while you can. There's going to come a time when you can't do the work anymore. There is a time when we cannot work anymore. And you got to, while you can do something, take the opportunity and be busy and do the things that you ought to do while you can do it. You have to decide where and how you'll spend yourself. I want to say, not deciding by default is to waste your time. There has never been a culture in the history of this planet where it is as easy and natural, and what's going to happen, the default, is wasting your time and wasting your life. I have never found anybody in our society who knows how much TV they watch. Everybody, 100% true, everybody underestimates the amount of time they watch TV and spend on the internet. By the way, I've always thought that. And then they started doing studies. And they would say, how many hours do you think you spend watching TV? And they say, 3. And they say, okay, well, here's the study, and you're going to go home, and you're going to set a timer, and this is going to push this button, and then stop when you're done watching TV. And they all went to 5. Some of them said 2. Some of them said 1. It was almost always double what they thought. And because it's unbelievably entertaining. And it's incredibly easy. And by the way, that's one reason I don't have cable TV. I have bunny ears. With one of the antennas broken off, why? Because I don't want to have that much entertainment. I'll blow my time. I'll waste my time. I had dial-up internet until we had to do some major work for uploading things and things for the church. I had dial-up internet until 3 years ago. Why? Because it made me not get in the internet very much and waste my time. I'd click on a button, and then I'd start doing push-ups because it's going to take a very long time for anything to come up. And why? Because I don't want to waste my time. It's easy to waste time. As we talked at the end of Sunday school, you got a smartphone that is better than a computer was 10 years ago. You can waste your time. And if you do not choose how you're going to decide, you're going to say, where did my days go? Where did the years go? You're going to hit 30 and say, I'm not 30. You're going to hit 40 and say, where'd my 30s go? But if you live right and choose what you do with your life, you'll say, man, I had a great 20s. Boy, my 30s were spent well. Now, they'll go fast because life goes fast. But if you do not choose, like Jesus said, hey, I've got to work while it is day. There's going to come a time when I cannot work anymore. If you do not do that, you will waste your life. You'll waste your time. You'll waste your energy. And by the way, you'll waste your money. To not plan what you do with your money is to say, where did it all go? Most people, when they find out their annual income, say, I didn't make that much. I have nothing to show for it. Because if you don't tell your money where to go, it chooses to go to nothing. Actually, you'll know what you did with a lot of it because you'll look at your waste and you'll see, I bought a lot of fast food. But you blow a lot of your money. And so the Bible says, be of a sober mind. The word sober means under control. We've got to choose our lives and what we do. And I illustrate, I think of it this way. I get a big tax return because of the size of my family and because of our income. And we get a big tax return every year. I have to choose ahead of time where that money goes because I could spend it on a million things. And this year it went to braces and it went to a roof. And it went to paying off some debt, and it's gone. But if I didn't choose what I was going to do with it, guess what would happen? I would say, where did all that money go I got from the government? Because they say I'm in poverty, ha, ha, ha. And poverty levels are very funny to me. And where did it all go? And your money disappears. And so you got to be very careful in everything. You've got to decide where we spend ourselves. A few thoughts on this. Number one, we need to realize our time and opportunities are limited. Our time and opportunities are limited. Jesus said here, and Jesus saying this, the one who invented time, the one who could control anything, the one who could do miracles and disappear and appear and do everything, and yet he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. He says, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He says, I've got to do this right now. I've got to get on this right now. And he said, that's very important. I think of Timothy, where Paul told Timothy about preaching the word. And he says, you better preach the word right now, Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 1 through 4 or so. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. be in sin in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Listen, he says, preach the word whenever you get a chance, Timothy, in season, out of season, appropriate time, not appropriate, because there's going to come a time when they will not listen to sound doctrine anymore. They'll go find teachers who tell them what they want to hear, who itch their ears, and they won't listen to a good Bible preacher anymore. So you better do it now while you have the chance, because the time will come when the chance isn't there anymore, and you will not have a chance to do that anymore. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 35, it says, walk in the light while ye have the light with you. While you have the light with you. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The time will come when they will not, you will not have the opportunities you once had. If you do not spend your time wisely, the opportunities pass. If you do not spend time with your children, you'll find your children grow up very quickly, and you'll say, hey, they're an adult now. I can't spend much time with them now. With your spouse, things change. Everything is not constant. Our opportunities are not always there in life. And you will find, if you didn't spend your time well, I recommend when you are young, the Bible says it is better for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. I think when you're young, it's a lot better to get hard things done. You have energy, you have time, you can go on less sleep. I think you'll, by the way, ask somebody, and God bless you, we have people who do it, and I'm proud of them, but ask them what it's like going back to college at 40. You got kids. You used to be able to go on 4 hours sleep a night when you needed to. Try that when you're 50. And listen, there are so many things you should do when you have the chance to do it, when you have the health to do it, when you have the opportunity, because opportunities disappear. You should have told you love them, and then suddenly they passed. No. You've got to realize that opportunities are limited. Time is limited. Time goes away. Privileges go away. When you could have done it, you didn't do it. You will say, you know what? I want to go help a lot of people. And you have some money, and you say, someday I'm going to start giving to people. And all of a sudden, guess what? Your job changes. And now you're just trying to pay your bills. And you know what most people do? A lot of people make a lot of money sometimes for a while, and then they'll all of a sudden blow all of it thinking they'll perpetually make all that money, keep all that money. Then they change their careers, and they change their job, and now they say, boy, I wish I had that money back. I would really like to help some people do some things. Listen, while you got money, don't blow it all. Choose what you do with it. Professional athletes are famous for doing this. I follow sports pretty closely. I watch these athletes, and I marvel that they claim bankruptcy the year after they retire at 34. Because they went out and blew it all. They have 3 mansions, one in Florida, one in California, and one in wherever they play football. and then they get done, and they realize they can't play forever. And all of a sudden, they have these expectations for a way of life, and they can't afford it anymore. And they're going to go, guess what? They're going to go live in a small house if they can afford it, after they sell their mansions they overpaid for. Do not think that your opportunities are perpetual. Do not think that the privileges of life and the opportunities you have and the time you have, you will find that life flies by. Do not spend your time wishing you were at a different stage. Kids all say when they're 12, I wish I was 13. I was a teenager. When they're 13, they say, I wish I was 16 so I can drive. When they're 16, I wish I was 18 so I can do what I can do at 18. I wish I was 21. And then you get about 24 and you face the pressures of life and say, I wish I was 16. Sure was easy back then. And then you get 25 and you sure wish you were 35 and had your life together and had bought a house and were married and everything together. And then you get 35 and say, I wish I was 25 again. And then if you don't spend your life well, you hit 40 and all you do is start getting depressed and have a midlife crisis. Why? Because you wasted your life and you wish you would have spent it differently. And all of a sudden you start blowing all your money in your 40s trying to act like you're in your 30s or 20s. You try to dress like a kid. You go buy a convertible. Get a hair job so you can look different. Go buy a Corvette so you'll and act like you're cool again. Why? Because you feel like you missed your 20s and missed your 30s and missed your teens. And listen, don't spend your life wishing you were at a different point. Live your life right now and say, I've got to do important things. What do I want to have spent my life doing right now? And you won't have a midlife crisis. You'll say, boy, I spent my time well. Spent my life well. The opportunities will not always be there. The opportunities to witness and win somebody to Christ are not always there. Redeeming the time means buy it back. Listen, before I was a Christian, my first 16 years, I wasted my life. I got to make up for that lost time where I didn't know what to do with my time in my life and just ruined it and didn't do anything important. And since I've been saved, I've been trying to buy back some time and make up the time and be busy and stay busy with the things that matter. Realize the opportunities are not always there. They're limited. Time is limited. You got to do what you can do good while you can do it. If you can do good right now, do good right now. If you can go show love to your kids and spend time with your family and express your love to them, then do it. If you can give to some important causes right now, do it. You do not regret doing things that matter. You do not regret doing things that, and the opportunity might not always be there. I realize right now, I am flying 1,000 miles per hour in life. I realize my wife asked me the other day, when are you going to stop going on mission trips? I know the way I go on a mission trip, I run 1,000 miles per hour. I exhaust myself. I push and push and push and try to get a lot done in a country. But you know what? I won't be able to take that trip to the Philippines when I'm 60. We roughed it. And maybe I will, maybe God will give me a miracle, but I'm a young 44 right now. I know you thought I was 25, but I am. I'm 44. And I feel great, and I worked out a lot to go on the trip and did all those things, and I climbed the mountain. Praise the Lord. I would have died. I almost died 13 times. I had 4 minor heart attacks. And that mountain was straight up. Then went back down the mountain. The worst thing was I got down the mountain. Went down, got to the mountain. I was dead exhausted. I mean, you talk about dead. I am not in the shape for that. I mean, that thing was straight up. I got back down, and everybody kind of mingled the back, you know. And I was not the first one up or the first one down. But everyone was kind of mingled, and the group was waiting for us down there. I went in front of everybody and ran in there and acted like I was all spry. Everybody's sitting there, and I walked in. The first one there, I said, all right, that was awesome, guys. They didn't know 30 feet before I was going, They go, man, you look like you had a good time. I said, it was awesome. Where's the chair? And I sat down. I ate some, they gave me some frozen something, like a popsicle. Whiffed a few of those, drank a bunch of water, and then I went and I made a huge mistake. I didn't know. I went and I was sweating. I must have sweat 3 gallons of sweat going up that hill. It's too hot, too high for me and my shape. And I went, I said, I'm going to jump in the ocean and clean off. I didn't realize I was going to get unbelievable cramps when I got in the water. My legs locked up and went over the place, and I got out of the water going, said, I am getting too old for this. And I didn't realize when you jump in water after you climb a giant mountain, your legs go into massive, strange cramps. And for it wasn't the mountain. Where I got those cramps in my weird leg spots, my legs were rubbery for 5 days afterward because of that. And I said, good night. I've got to stop doing this dumb stuff. I'm getting old. And, you know, I don't know how long I can do these trips. Haiti in June. You know what Haiti is like in June? Doesn't matter when you go to Haiti. It's always like that. But June in Haiti, oh, man. It won't get, I'll never be in air conditioning. At nighttime, at 3 in the morning, it's going to be 90 degrees. Humid. Steamy. Think sauna all day. She's weird, my daughter. She likes it. Me? I like Seattle weather. But you know what? I got to work while I can. We've got these open doors to the nations. We got these opportunities. You know what? We'll tough it out. I got the opportunity. We'll work out. We'll get in shape again. We will get ready to go. I will do stupid things on a hot day. I will turn my heater on in my car just to get ready for the heat. And I'll still be miserable while I'm there. I don't know why I do that. And you know what? I'll do that. Why? Because I don't like heat. I like indoor plumbing. I like all kinds of nice things there. You know what? You know where our showers were in Philippines? You know what the toilets were? Toilets were a toilet bottom with no seat on it and a bucket and no plumbing. The showers were a bucket and a pail, and you pour it over your head. And you know what? I've got the chance right now in these nations. I've got the opportunity. I've got ears of pastors around the world. I don't know when that's going to end. You say it'll always be like that. Life's not like that. I could have major health problems where I can't fly anymore this week. I want to do what I can do while I can do it. I might have a country, all of a sudden a bad government takes over a country and I can't go in. I couldn't have went to Haiti in 1992. It can be unstable. If they have riots, they have problems, I won't be able to go back there. They start having kidnappings again, I stand out. Okay? And they kidnap me. I want to take advantage of this while I can. And I hope you say, you know what? I've got to go and do what I can do. Number two, we said number one, realize that our time and opportunities are limited. Number two, we need to decide what is worth spending ourselves for. We need to decide what is worth spending ourselves for. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, it says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Sometime in your life, you ought to figure out if you live to be 70 or 75 or whatever your life expectancy is. You got to figure out how many days you have left. It'll sober you. 365 times however many years you have left, and you say, that's how many days I have left. It sobers you. And that's good. It's good because it makes you focus. Wisdom says that if we are going to spend ourselves on something, we should spend ourselves for that which is eternal. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, we should life just living for this world is a waste of a life. And some lives spending their time for this world are more productive on this world, for this world, than others. Some just blow their lives quickly. But at the best case, we're all going to die, and whatever we've done won't matter anymore. It doesn't matter how much you've attained. Doesn't matter how much you have. There's no U-Hauls following hearses. You're not taking it with you. And so it won't matter how much you had. It won't matter how many friends or how famous you are. What'll matter is what you took into eternity. Souls that are won, lives that are impacted, people you fed, needy you helped. Listen, I would rather hand out that box of Bibles that we handed out there than all the things that some billionaire who knows nothing about God did. He will have done much less for God than one of our teenagers who one time handed out one box of Bibles. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You must decide what is worth spending your life for. Matthew 16, 26, he says, don't try to gain the whole world. It's not worth losing your soul over. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Peter came to Jesus and Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross. And Peter says, no, don't do that. No, don't even talk about that. And Jesus looked at him very harshly and he rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He says, you care about the things of this life, Peter, the things that men care about. You want me to live a long life. I'm not going to live a long life. I'm going to die for the sins of mankind. That's eternal. Don't try to stop me. You care about earthly things. I care about heavenly things. Jesus lived with a priority on the eternal. What have you accomplished with your life that will matter in 1,000 years? This church and its focus, and I hope your focus, is not on having a fancy building and being some big exalted church or pastor or anything else. We're busy preparing for eternity. We spend our money on that stuff. We spend our time on that stuff. We spend our energy. Why? Because we decided what matters. When I was in the Philippines, I learned 5 things, and I wrote them down, and I won't share all those things. One of the things that impacted me is you went to the church in an area called Bagadan, which is a village way out in the boonies. And we had went there 7 years ago, and we had started a church with Pastor Jovan. And Pastor Jovan, we worked with him, and we went did all the witnessing, and we paid for their building, and we as a church, we paid for a special day they had, a big feast they had. We gave them $300 for the building, and they built a bamboo building. It's the bamboo around there is unbelievable. It's like giant weeds everywhere. And they built a building for $300, and then we gave them $300 to have a big feast. That was it, $600. We went back to this church on Saturday. We were going to be somewhere else on Sunday. He had a church service there. We didn't know we were going to do that. I preached the church there. And we went and visited the church and gave out Bibles and spent time with them. But it was interesting. There while at the church, there was another pastor there who led the singing for him. And then afterward, we walked with this pastor to the next village. And we walked, it was about 3 miles, 4 miles to the next village. And he started the church in the next village, and he has a building now, a property, and he's starting to build a building there. Somebody gave him the property. Our church gave him, I think we gave him $300 to start in his building, to start building his building. I didn't know this, but that pastor who started the second church was there 7 years ago as a 13-year-old and heard me preach when we started the church 7 years ago. Now he's the pastor in the next town. Now, he remembers it. I didn't lie to him and say, oh, I remember you. I didn't remember him. It was one service we preached. We had big crowd. Off we went to the next place. But you know, in the Philippines, what they do is when they start a church, these pastors we've been working with, is they go in. If you looked at those churches in the video, if you looked around, you saw a lot of kids and a lot of teenagers. They invest in young people. If the old people come, they come. But what they do is they find kids. They go to an area. They start a Bible club with the kids. They teach those kids. They teach those kids to sing. And then in the first day of church, those kids all come and sing the specials. And they invest in those kids, and they call them young people. A young people from them for them is 11 to 18. And they invest in them. Well, they spend a lot of effort on their kids. They train their kids. Well, this guy, Jovan, he's already got 3 guys in Bible college right now. One already graduated pastoring. Those are the kids that were there that he'd been investing in. And it really hit me again, and I should know this, but they grow up real quick. And if you invest in them, pretty soon you got a generation serving God. And their hearts are more tender. Now, I'll invest in every age. We invest in old, young, babies, you name it. But on the way in, I told my family on the way driving into church this morning, I said, I've been very under conviction about working more with kids and young people. And I said, look for kids who are good and see if we can get them to come back for tonight's church, for night service. And they started naming names of kids that we can start bringing, that are good kids, that act well and behave themselves and are willing, that are worth the investment, that they're not going to just flake around. We want to go. And I've been spoken to about, you know what, one of the things I want to invest in is young people. I want to spend more time with our teenagers. I want to spend more time with kids. I want to spend more time with 12. Listen, there's this terrible age right now, 12, 13, 14-year-old, where the world just, and the devil just jumps after these kids and tries to destroy their life. And you can just see a happy little 11-year-old who's happy and ready for life and excited turn into hard-faced 14-year-olds. By the way, they're losing their purity by 14. There's a lot of bad things happening. Let's get them and protect them. And I want to invest my time in that. I want to invest my life in young people. Hey, in 10 years, they might be pastoring a church. They might be a missionary. I can only be in one spot. They might be a missionary in some country I want to go to, but I can't. And so I say, you know what? That's what I want to invest. One of the things I want to begin investing in. And I wrote five things I want to invest in and different things I want to spend my time investing in. That's one of the things. So I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to do that on purpose. I'm not just going to say, where'd my life go? I'm going to be able to point and say, that's where my life went. Because I'm going to invest in those. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to invest in people who are in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s. Maybe 100 will stop. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to invest in them. It just means I got to focus my time. And so I've got to focus my time on countries. One of the most amazing things that we have here at Open Door is this little church in the middle of heathen land has an unbelievable open door around the world. There's so much that we could do. It's so amazing the things we could do if we'll get our mind on what really matters. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 says, these people are ungodly and they mind earthly things. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 9, it says, for to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death, earthly minded. Thinking on things that matter, thinking about eternal things, having your mind on things that'll last forever. We said, number one, we need to realize our time and opportunities are limited. Number two, we need to decide what is worth spending ourselves for. Number three, spend yourself for that cause. Jesus said, I must work the work of him that sent me. Let me take it back to John chapter 4. How many of you are already surprised how old you are? Raise your hand. You old? How many are, you're surprised, aren't you? Now, you might not be old. You might be 20 and saying, I can't believe I'm already 20. I was just a teenager yesterday. And keep thinking that. Listen, it goes fast. You're surprised. And by the way, people who are 80 raise their hands and people who are 20 raise their hands. Should tell you something about life. Listen, spend yourself for the cause you find. John chapter 9. And I kind of want to tie this John chapter 4. Let's go there. I'm kind of tying this to the Philippines because the video and just what I've been thinking about and just musing for a week and a half since I've been back. Just thinking about these things. John chapter 4 and verse 6. Jesus is talking about what he needs to do here. And he says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat thus in the well. So John chapter 4, verse 6, Jesus is tired. Verse 8, the disciples are gone away in the city to buy meat. They didn't have any food. And he was tired because of that. Verse 31, the disciples come back after he's been witnessing to a woman. And verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciple prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So they know he's hungry. They know he's tired. He needs to eat. And what does he say? Verse 32, he said unto them, I have meat that ye know not to eat that ye know not of. He says, I have something to eat you don't know about. And they said, well, where did you get food? We're all hungry. Verse 33, therefore the disciples, one of it, said to one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He says, listen, I'm more worried about doing God's work. That's my meat. That's what I eat. That's what I feed on, is doing the will of God, doing the work of God. He says, it's more important to me than food. It's pretty hard for a Baptist. They like to eat. He says, you know what? Don't worry about food right now. I got some work to do for God. Isn't it strange that Jesus wasn't even worried about eating when he was exhausted and hungry because he had some work to do for God. And yet, how hard it is to get someone to inconvenience themselves to win a soul, pass out a tract, clean a church, do whatever. Well, I'm kind of busy. Jesus said, I'm not going to eat. I got too many important things to do. Now, there's a certain point where you got to eat or you'll lose your strength and can't do it. But do you see his priorities? Watch how he continues on. Verse 35, say not ye, there yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both that he which soweth and he which reapeth may rejoice together. He says, listen, look around. And by the way, people are coming out of the city to him. And he says, look, the harvest is ready right now. There's not 4 months. Right now, I'm not going to eat. I've got God's work to do. He spent himself for the cause. He was very intense about it. I'm going to read another verse that Paul said the same attitude about willing to sacrifice, spend myself, and do for the things that matter, for eternal things. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 15, he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He says, I will spend myself for you. I will give myself away. I will lose my health, my everything. I will spend myself for you. So you decide what you will spend yourself and then give yourself to that cause. That's the attitude of the Bible. Can I tell you, you say, oh, that'd be miserable. I want to do what I want to do. No, 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 you don't understand. It's contrary to the way we think, but it's so true. When we're in the Philippines, and I don't want to say I made a mistake, but when I go on a trip, I don't know when I'm going to make it back to the country. I tell them, I've had too many trips where they thought I wanted to go on vacation. And I don't want to go on a vacation. I'm not a tourist guy. And plus, I'm in a foreign country. Let me go help the needs of the people. Let me go be a blessing to your people. Let me do something. What's always funny to me is when I go there, they always want to show me, because there's malls all over the world now. And almost inevitably, every country I go to, and they're going to take me and show me that they have a mall there, and I'll be impressed. I hate malls in America. Well, I don't want to go to a mall. Well, I don't want to travel 12,000 miles to go to a mall. And you know what they are? They are loud, and a bunch of teenagers taking pictures of themselves, and a bunch of dumb stores, and over expensive, and too many people, and too many crowds, and I hate them. And so I tell them, I said, I don't want to see tourist sites. I said, maybe if we spend a half a day, but I want to be busy. I want to do this. I want to do this, and work me hard. I may never go back to your country. And some take me up, and some don't. They took me up on this trip. As a matter of fact, I was kind of surprised. How many times did I say, all right, guys, 3:45, meet outside, 4 o'clock. How many times we were getting back 10 o'clock and then winding down and cleaning up after a day in the tropics, you have to take a shower. The boys tried not to. I forced some of them. I said, you're taking a shower, buddy. I don't know what it is about young boys who think that, you know, you've been sweating for 16 hours straight. You don't need a shower. And I'll take one tomorrow. So that's why they have lakes to throw them in. But we would go and get back late. And then we'd get up. And nobody, here's a shocking thing. When they got back and I got back, everybody told me, what'd you do to my husband? What'd you do to my kids? They've slept 24 hours straight. They went and slept for 8 hours. Brother, the first pastor with us, I talked to him later in the week, and I said, you all right? And he said, I went home and slept I slept for 6 hours, took a nap, and asked my wife, why didn't you wake me up? And then I went back to sleep again, and he said, I was going to be up all night because I slept for 6 hours, and he slept all night through the next day. Everybody got back, and it took them, most of them, about 5 or 6 days to recover in sleep. Most of us were wiped out. Now, here's a funny thing. When I was there, not one person in our group, 12 people, complained about being tired. Now, you saw them going. And then as we talked to them, we'd say, I wasn't sleeping. And you saw them. We were flying. And it was hot and humid. And you get so tired when it's hot and humid. And we were doing dumb things like climbing a mountain and jumping on the in the ocean afterward. And we were exhausted, but nobody said anything. And all day long, we were having so much fun. We were handing out Bibles and witnessing and handing out tracts and going to churches and preaching and singing and being a blessing and encouraging them and going to youth conference and everything else. And nobody was bored for 1 second, and nobody thought they were that tired. We got back, we said, oh my soul, I'm dead. Ugh. We got in the airplane and started flying, Manila to Tokyo, Tokyo to Seattle. And everybody just gone in the airplane. But you know, while we were there, we had something important to do that we gave ourselves to. And nobody said, I'm tired, I don't want to. Everyone is just having a great time. They didn't realize how tired they were. And I want to say, when you get a cause that's bigger than you, you do not, it's not work. And you actually have fun doing it. And you'll give yourself and exhaust yourself and not even realize how tired you are until you lay down in bed and said, whoa. Why? Because you gave yourself to something bigger than, or, I mean, I understand Americans, if they ever have a thumb Olympics, we will win. I get that. But as far as anything that matters, I watched 26 hours of TV in the last 5 days. Wow. That's going to matter in 1,000 years. I surfed the net and I checked on every stupid person who tried to go downstairs on a skateboard and fell on their face. Wow, that's an impressive life. That raise your IQ to watch stupid people fall on their face and break their nose? Yes, they make those videos so you want to watch them, and there's a million things to waste your time on. But why don't you, instead of seeing what happens and what you do, what am I going to do? Why don't you say, this is what I should do today? What? See, give yourself. You will love it. Life is full and rich and productive, and you get things done. You might not be able to go to the field. You might not have the health to go to Haiti. You got to be very healthy to go to Haiti. Okay? That might not be for everybody. In this trip to the Philippines, we didn't, if somebody wouldn't have been healthy, I wouldn't have taken them because I knew we're gonna be pretty busy. But you know, here's the thing I'm looking at right now. I look at my life and I look at, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy who was all messed up and got saved and found a lot to do. And I love life. I look at this church and I say, it's unbelievable. The opportunities we have. The opportunities we have in this area right here. We have a great name in this area. We have open doors. We can go to the neighborhoods. We're free in America. We can go witnessing. We can go invite people. We can do all this work. We have this open doors. We have kids out there, and they're finding out the world's not going to satisfy them, and they're learning that. And let's go reach people here. And then for some reason, this church, our discipleship program, the pastors' conferences, we've got the world. The world knows about this church and wants this church to come make an impact. You have an opportunity being in this church to literally directly be in churches and Christians who are suffering around the world. And it's not so we're going to send some money to the same headquarters of some denomination in Dallas or Memphis or something. I mean, this church right here will walk up and impact lives. To give to it, to pray for it, to participate, to be there, to be an usher in this church, to keep it running. To be able to participate in a cause. It's so open right now. The world right now is having revival. America isn't, the world is. The Filipinos are all over the world right now being missionaries. Haiti is being transformed by the gospel, and we're going to go there in a month, and we're going to train 200 of their pastors. The whole nation is forsaking voodoo and coming to Christ. Though opportunities in these countries right now, the door is open. Right now, in China, I got an article on China. They say upwards of 10,000 people a day are getting saved in China right now, despite the government. The East is being saved. Africa is turning Christian. If you went back, I had the statistics. If you went back to 1960, less than 5% of Africa is Christian. Right now, it's about 60%. It's wide open. You can, and it looks like I'll hit Africa at the start of next year, hopefully, Lord willing. And we're looking and just saying, man, what can I do? What a chance to live right now. What an opportunity. I don't have to get in a boat and take 3 months to get there. I flew for 14, 15 hours to the Philippines. 14, 15 hours is nothing. I know people say, oh, it's a long flight. Listen, it's 14 or 15 hours. We blow that. Sleeping in. The world is open. The chances are open. We're free. Let me take you to Luke 16. What I'm saying is decide what's important. Decide what you're going to spend your life on. Get your eyes off of just having another new game PlayStation or a new computer or the newest phone or the newest this or the newest that and say, listen, what do I want to spend my money and my life and my energy and my time on? It's much more fun to feed a needy person or hand out a Bible or win a soul to Christ than it is to just, Luke 16, than it is to just let life happen and see what you're going to do with your time. And I think focus your life, go to college, graduate. Don't dink around if you're going to go to college. Everything in your life, focus on it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it thy might. I can't believe these kids go to school and keep on taking prerequisites and dropping out, and they're 4 years later, they're still a freshman in college. Go in life. Life's short. And do things. And be productive. Luke 16. Look at you, how your money should be focused. And I say unto you, verse 9, Luke 16, 9, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that means when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. What is they that receives you into everlasting habitation? Your money. You know what it says there? It says, take your money and use it wisely and invest it in eternal things, so when you die and you get into heaven, there's your money to receive you. You know how much money I have blown in my life on things that don't matter? Just wasted it. How many of you like me say, you know what? I have blown some money on things I wish I got that money back. How many of you like that? You've blown some money. Listen, it says if you will put your money into eternity, give to the cause of Christ, help a needy person, when you get to heaven, you say, there's your 10 bucks you threw in the offering. You say, and it says, hey, I bought 50 tracks and four people, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy's here in heaven because of this $10. I want my money to receive me and greet me when I get to heaven. I want to make my money eternal. I understand, pay your bills. I think you got to do that. Pay every bill, pay it on time. Do it. It's important. It's godly. Do it. But your discretionary funds, your extra money, decide what you want to do with it. Say, what will I do? Because you must work the work of him that sent you while it is day. Life and time and energy and money must be focused or it's wasted. So today I just gave you one of my things. I'm choosing to invest in the young people in this area. I'm going to spend more time. I'm going to do more activities. I'm going to take him over to my house more. I'm going to do these things more. Why? Because I think that's worth my time and money and effort. You always have to feed 12 to 14, 15, 16-year-olds. It's my money. Buy them pizza. That's all I want. Pizza, 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 pizza. And you know what? I got to do that. And I'll spend my money on them. That's a better investment. And I get to eat some too. But it's a better investment. And I'm not saying you have to have the same priority as me. Maybe you're saying, and one of my things is my own family and all those things. I understand. But look around and say, and I'm not telling you what to spend your life on. I'm telling you, you decide what you spend your life on. Don't let life happen. You choose what you spend your life on. Focus your life. Focus your time. Focus your money. Focus your energy and use it for something you'll love to spend your life and look back and say, that was an awesome decade. Not, did I live? For the last 10 years, where'd it go? I must work the work that sent me while it is day, for the night comes and no man can work. Be busy for something that matters, and you choose. And Jesus said, I'm going to do the work of my Father. Let's pray. Lord, I want us not to waste all the resources we have. Lord, I sit there and I go to the Philippines and look what just a little bit of money and how intense these people want what that little bit of money buys. 800 Bibles, Lord, cost us $200, I think, and when it's all said and done. Lord, it's amazing how many people it impacted. And we have so much, Father, in America. You blessed us in this nation. Now, Lord, we have productivity because we have so many things to help us make us productive, but sometimes we use it to waste our time. And I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray today that we would not regret our lives. I pray today that we would live our lives for what matters. Please, Lord, help us to be a blessing. And Lord, every one of us can't do the same. Some of us have some physical problems. Some of us have different schedules and our lives are in different spots. But Lord, I pray each one of us would start choosing to do what we can do with what we have, Lord, because that's all you expect. And I pray that we have the attitude of our Savior and of the Apostle Paul and others. I'll spend myself for this cause. May we have that. May we think that way. May we choose that way, Lord, we pray. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to have the eternal mindset. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed. We won't keep